when I was preparing this service today, this week, thinking about it, I didn't know that this morning I would get the words that I received that one of our numbers is in hospital. My lead text this morning was found in Matthew. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 to 30. I'll start this way. Now, I've written it down, but I'm reading it from the New King James Version. And it reads this. The first three words in my Bible read this. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean on me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I say that because we were talking in the Sabbath School lesson this morning about Christ. Here is an invitation in this particular chapter which says, come unto me. And so if I had to put a title on this presentation today, it would be this, come unto me. All you who are weary. Weary in what? Weary in life? Weary about the things which are around us? Or weary in general? It's quite obvious to us that we are Seventh-day Adventists sitting here this morning. We are aware that things outside are not what they seem to be. We have something that others haven't. We have the knowledge that we have a Saviour. A Saviour that's willing to take us, no matter what our problems are, where we are, or under what circumstances, we are available to Him at any, or He is available to us, I should say, at any time. No matter what. If we analyse this little passage in Matthew, which Jesus is speaking in my Bible, we can analyse it in a certain way. Come unto me. There's the invitation. The next part is all you who are weary and burdened. What burdens have you? Have you got burdens today that you're not telling us about? Burdened about health problems? Yes, we've got health problems within this church now, we know about. Or anything else that's worrying you? You've got financial problems at home? Things are not going too well? Problems in the family? Seek Jesus. I will take your burden from you, and I will give you rest. Later on in this presentation, I'll be looking at a couple of chapters in Psalms where this rest thing comes out. But it is interesting. We are given the opportunity. The next portion of this particular verse says, take my yoke upon you and lean on me. Take my yoke? That sounds like work. A yoke means it's to be tethered. Something's going to happen. But if I've got the yoke of Jesus Christ with me, I am going to be in a situation that I know that yoke is going to be pure and strong and will be right for me under my circumstances, no matter what happens. Take my yoke upon you. All right? We might be individuals. The yoke's going to change because I might be big and someone might be small, or Sarah, the little one, might be small. But you've got a burden. The yoke's going to be put on you, and with the help of Jesus, you will be able to get through the problem. Jesus has helped me. All right, a little break for the children. I may have told this before. See that pen? Yes, I think I've told this before. I couldn't write once because I blotted everything. I blotted everything because I couldn't write left-handed. Right? See? Now, if I wrote right-handed like this, I can't do it. See? I write that way. I never gave up because I had a chance to write with a pen like that. Oh, sorry, it's an advert. I better hide it. I just realised what it was. This pen helped save my life. What do you mean? Because I couldn't communicate by paper, by writing something down. I had to have a biro in it. When I went to school, you did it with the inkwell. And the inkwell got wet. In those days, it was a bit naughty at some of the schools. You would flick the person in front of you with red or black ink or blue. Particularly the girls. That was the way things were done back then. But I had a problem. Physical problem. I had to get fixed up. I had to find a way. Somebody took care of me. Come unto me. I was told by my father one day. He came home to me and said, go to your teacher at school, he wants to see you. Your school is going to allow you to write with a biro pen. Only you in the school of 600 people. Only you. So I was able to write with a biro. And for the first time in about 9 years, I was able to pass my writing exam because I didn't blot the paper. And I passed. And I got 57%, I think it was. 57% for writing. 50% in those days was a pass. I got 57%. And my father said to me, I could have anything I like for Christmas. I knew what I wanted. It's still under the bed at home. Now, it's not one of those things. It was an electric train set. Doesn't work, but it's still there. I got it for Christmas. And the rest is history. You all know that I've got tunnel vision. For those that don't know me, I'm a railway maniac. Both model and real. That's the way I am. Come unto me, it says. But the yoke is easy. Lean on me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I remember once as a boy having a caliper on my right leg and not being able to walk upstairs. Humble in heart, meek, lean on me. Dad, I said one day, I was only about 7, can I get long pants? Why do you want long pants? So I can hide the caliper. I didn't want anybody knowing that I had a caliper on my right leg. That's naughty, you don't show that. My father was a man who was had wisdom anyway. He said to me, no, you're not getting long pants. Oh, Dad, why? Think of it this way. A simple example. If you are walking up steps, which I had to do within the first hour after I had that on, people will see you've got a caliper. Yes. And they will go around you, give you a bit of a berth so you can hang onto the rail going up the steps. And sure enough, this happened in my life. Oh. My father's not as silly as I think he is. You know? He's not as silly as you think he is. It worked. All right, I'll wear that one. You got me on that one, Father. Come unto me again. I got up the steps, by the way. I had the caliper on for about 3 years. It helped a bit, but that was the way it was done. It was a caliper that went down from the knee on the right leg right down to the shoe, fitting to the shoe. The shoe had to be specially made with a T-bar strap. You know what I'm talking about, T-bar strap around it in those days? Because in my days, when I was born, polio was the in thing. You remember? Polio was the in thing. People said to me, did you suffer with that? No, I was. That was something else, but I won't go down that path. That's the way it was. Why was I different? I've stopped here, but I want to say something now. Why was I different? I don't know. I just had a little fella say to me a couple of weeks ago, I like you, Uncle Ron, because you've got a different hand. One day you'll go to heaven and the Lord will make your hand right. I love you the way you are. This is a little set, my little nephew, 7 years old. Oh. Parents didn't say anything, he said that himself. They just stood there teary-eyed and misty. That's the way it is. Come unto me, lean on me. I'm changing this around deliberately this morning because I'm coming into a certain area, particularly this morning for Tony's sake. When you get knocked in life and you get ridiculed and everything goes wrong because you are the way you are, it's easier to get into the corner and sit there and not want to do anything. But in Psalm 116, for about the first three or four verses, it says this. Psalm 116. I'm changing this around this morning. It says in my Bible this. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish or the grave came upon me. I was overcome by the trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. It goes on. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest, O once more, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I won't go on through the rest of it. It carries on. I will sacrifice, from verse 17 onwards, I'll read to the end. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, and in the midst of O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. That to me is as relevant today as it was when David wrote it back then. Praise the Lord. I can consider that I am blessed. Blessed that I am a Seventh-day Adventist and proud of it, and happy that the Lord has chosen me in my capacity in this church to be an elder, to help out in this church. Years ago, I thought, why me? Why me and not somebody else? That's the life. That's what you've got to put up with. That's what people. That's the luck of the draw. That's what happened. Two things came to my mind. I could either fail or I could pass. And with the help of my parents, I passed. All right. I couldn't even mow a lawn until our father made me get out there with a push mower. All right. Then one day he came home and said to me, "I've got a surprise for you." He came home with a Victor mower. He started the Victor mower once, showed me what to do, and I was off. But he put one condition on that, that I was not to mow the lawn while he was not there. He had to be in that house or around the house when he was there. In other words, I couldn't sneak home on a school afternoon and mow the lawn for Dad. Because he knew what that Victor could do. Because in those days they were just an open blade, they didn't have any grass catchers. He knew. See? Up here for thinking. He knew. I didn't. Couldn't pick it up, but I can now. He thought, what can I do? He got me through that. I couldn't even cut a tomato up or cut potato. Yes, that's something I haven't told you before. Or cut a lettuce. Yes, out there. I couldn't cut a lettuce. And I had someone else sit down to me one day and said to me, how can I help you? Right? Show me what you can do. One of my uncles. My father had died. Sat me down at the table. How do you cut a potato? How do you peel a potato? How can I peel a potato? Can't do that. Yes, you can. Smart uncle just reached around to the back of the kitchen drawer, picked out a long fork, about that big, with two wide prongs on it. Gave me the knife, gave me the little potato peeler, put the two prongs in the end of the potato. Now, hold that with that hand and go around this way. Sure enough, I could peel a potato. May not look right, but I could peel a potato. I don't eat potatoes anymore, they're bad for the diet. But that's what I could do. What you could do if you had to. It's the old adage in this text. Well, I better get on because no, that's not right. I better get on. Where do you go? Where do you go? Further Bible passages that I could look at today from that. If my burden is light and I come to the Lord and I bring my problems with Him, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Tony, we remember you today and for this week because our burden as a church is your burden. Exactly. We are concerned for Olivia. Very concerned. And we'll be praying and hoping that everything goes all right for you this afternoon and whenever the transfer might take place to whatever hospital. Well, that's good. We'll be keeping in touch. I'm sure the doctors here will know about it. But it's interesting. Come unto me. You've come here this morning. You haven't gone home. You didn't go home and mope on the bed. Oh, Olivia's sick. Don't worry. You've come here. Because another thing in life is here, there's strength in the church family. One thing I've learned about church life over the years is there's strength in church family. Doesn't matter what church you're in, there's strength. Because all of a sudden you can strengthen me no matter what. I might be spiritually downhearted. I might be off somewhere else, not feeling right. But you can lift me up one way or another. When we have problems, we seek the Lord. John 13:15. There are some examples that I was going to put up on the board, but I didn't have a chance this morning. I thought that was going to be used for something else, so I didn't have a chance to do this morning. I've got them written down here, so I'll read them for you. Further verses that I've come from this particular study this morning, based from Matthew 11:28, would be this. John 13:15, Jesus sets the example. I've written it down. I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus sets the example. We were talking about that this morning in our lesson. Setting the example. If Jesus sets the example, then the benchmark is up here. Yes. The benchmark is up there. And I have to attain that example. Because I want to be like Jesus. Another one. I have eight. 1 John 5:3. 1 John 5:3 reads, Jesus' commands are not burdensome. This is love for God. Obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. We talked about that love for God this morning. The love of God. Would we be here today if we didn't have it? I think not. You know, in this sick old world, the love of God is something that has been pushed aside. People do not care to be associated these days with churches generally. When you look around the towns and the cities, we find most churches are deserted. Well, the numbers right down. This is for the love of God. For the love of man has taken over. At some place this afternoon, the love of man in another form of religion will be taking place in some places in Victoria. New South Wales, Queensland, for example. I'm not mentioning anywhere. You know where I'm talking about. They worship something else. A rubber bag full of air and all its connotations, and then they suffer. We have to suffer all the week listening to it or reading about it on the television, why they did this and why they did that. Sometimes I wonder when I see these things just where it's going to all end up. Another one. John 7:37-38. And it reads on this, Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Spiritual. My Bible reads this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, Jesus speaking, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Now it's an interesting thought and an interesting observation on my part, to me, that the more I've grown in spiritual blessing, the more I am confident, my self-esteem is right up there with everything, and I am not afraid to get up in front of people and tell them, yes, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist in Hamilton, because I love the Lord. There are those people that want to hide their light under a bushel. Not me. We all see things in a different way. But are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for a spiritual hunger that is there? Because if you are, the spiritual thirst is right confound in here within the Bible and the Holy Spirit. I find that if I've got a spiritual thirst, I find that the Lord will help me with the aid of the Holy Spirit from lead from one text to another text to another text. And this is exactly what I'm doing this morning. Today, changing this around. Because I have a spiritual thirst for knowledge about the Bible. And after all, we are all the Lord's disciples, no matter where we are or under what circumstances. No matter what we are or where we are. Number four is another one. It's found in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. And it talks about attitude. And the attitude, it says here, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. How's your attitude? All right. Sometimes my attitude might change if I get a phone call at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the night and I find it's somebody from Calcutta or Mumbai trying to sell me something on the telephone that I don't want. Attitude. I want to talk this morning for a few seconds about your attitude to Jesus Christ. Does your attitude to Jesus Christ exclude you a little bit? Or do you want to push him over there? Or are you willing to stand up and say, I love you, Jesus Christ. I want to be your disciple. Do I stand up in this church with full knowledge of what I'm saying or what I'm doing, feeling confident about myself? Or is my attitude wrong? Attitude, you can tell in that person's attitude by the way they're looking at you, the way they stand. There are people out there that can tell you how you're feeling and looking. They can analyse you somehow, and they can tell you the way you're feeling with your eye. You know what I'm talking about. The feeling with the eyes and all this sort of thing. They can tell you whether bad or what. They can do that. But my attitude should be, I follow the Ten Commandments. I love the Lord. My attitude should be the same. Attitude could determine how I'm going to be perceived by others. If I am nervous and not forthcoming and don't have a clear pathway or a clear message, it's going to be all wrong. I want to stay focused in attitude. Number five is something of a bit of a change. In 1 Peter 2:21, it talks about the warning. 1 Peter 2:21, and I want to read the chapter, I want to read the verse, and then I want to talk a bit about it. 1 Peter 2:21 talks about a warning. This could affect us. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous, know the way of the righteousness, than to have known it and then turn away their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Now the thought has come out, and I read from the Bible study in my Bible this. On this passage, it reads this. Better not to have known the way of righteousness Knowledge of the way increases one's responsibility to his hardness of the heart if he rejects it in an earthly days. Christianity in the old days was known as the way. But it is quite easy for us, as it says here, to turn away from the Lord and have our hearts hardened and turn our backs on something because the devil has got to us in a certain way. The sacred command was there. But did they lose it? Was it lost? If someone turns away from the message and goes back to his old ways of life, his knowledge is said to have gone. The genuine change was not real. It was only temporary. He had a smokescreen. Further down in this particular passage, it says, in 2 Peter 2, 22, it says this, quite plainly, of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its sick, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Goes back to the wallowing in the mud. It's only a comparison, I know. But there's a message there. That I have to be careful where I am, what I am doing. Because it's quite easy for me to turn away, turn my back on everything and walk away from it. I don't want to. I don't want to turn my back. I want to be full on to Jesus. I want to have my back to Satan. Christ ahead, Satan well, thank you, behind. That far I don't want to even know he's there. But I have to be careful because he's in company. He's finding new means all the time. Just recently I know of a family that had the internet on, you know, all that computer stuff. A little 7-year-old junior, you know, pressing around the buttons and things, got into something that he shouldn't have done. Well, Dad and Mum found out about it, but they couldn't fix it. How Junior got into it, they'll never know. But it took a bunch of 4 experts to come for about 3 days to get to the problem, to get rid of this particular access to a certain number of things, or naughty things on the, you know what I'm talking about, to get rid of it. Access for children. It's frightening. But that's technology. One has only got to see in the media today. The things that are around it. Press the games and do all this sort of thing on the computer and new things come up and you can do this, that and the other. It's all there. That's how technology comes. But with that technology comes something else. Comes the problem that Satan is using. He's using it in a way to his advantage, at your expense, but you don't know it's at your expense until it's gone too far. Because you've got to watch. Number 6. I'm nearly there. Number 6. 1 John 2:6. Walking with the Lord. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Must walk as Jesus did. Oh, for a closer walk with him. No matter what. I want to walk as Jesus did. I want to be like Jesus. No matter what. With all my humble heart, I stand before you today and say this. I want what Jesus wanted. Do you? Jesus wants us in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of heaven. He wants none of us to miss out on that. He is putting his hand out to us today. Take my hand. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It is there for us. Walking with the Lord. Praying with the Lord. Being there at a time when he wants us. Number 7 reads this. Psalm 116 verse 7. When I read part of this. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. The Lord has been good to us. He's brought us here today. He's brought us through all kinds of bad weather this week. Put a roof over our head, blown our washing to the next door neighbour's fence and all that sort of stuff. You've got to wash it again. That's the washing that is. That's the way the wind was the other night at home. Given us millimetres of rain. Filled the drains up. Cut branches off trees. Blown them off, I should say. That's life. That's the way it is. But it is there. He has given us a blessing. I want to walk with the Lord today. I want a closer walk with the Lord. I want a true friendship with the Lord. Where does it start? It starts with me in here. For I want to say, that's right, I want to say this. We have to be careful. Number 8 is a different one. Because there's a statement in Jeremiah 6:16 which begs the question, what if? Jeremiah 6:16 says this in my Bible. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. That's the first part. I'll read it again. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Now look at the rest of the verse. In my Bible it says this. But you said, we will not walk in it. In other words, there is a parallel there. I can have that. I can stand at the crossroads and look. But you said, I don't want to do that. I want to go this afternoon and follow the football, or go here or go there, rather than fulfil the Sabbath day. That's the way it is. Are we that way in life that we will not walk as Jesus wants us to walk? Or are we in a situation that we know? Ever been down a road? Yes, something's just come to mind. Ever been down a road, crossroads, and had to stop and look and know which way you were going? Now, I'm aware that through the National Geographic channels that I've seen, that up in North Dakota, roads up in the country don't have names on them. There's no street signs anywhere. They're just roads here, roads there, roads there. You have to know which way you're going. Funny, different custom, that's the way it is. You've got to know where you're going. No street signs, that's it. I stand at the stock crossroads today and stop and look, because this passage to me is as relevant today as it was when it was written. Because if I stand at the crossroads, I see one road which leads to Jesus Christ and salvation and the knowledge of him, walking with him. I better do it the right way. Sorry, that's the best better. The right way. Jesus. I look off the other way And I see the other gentleman, or other man, Lucifer, Satan, with all his traps and everything down there. I have to be careful. Which way do I take? I have the knack to be able to pick up on time. By that I mean, there are certain people around who can take their watch off, put it in their pocket, they can drive from Sydney to Brisbane or Sydney to Melbourne and know exactly if they're running late or not by the speed they do. There's a certain coach driver that comes into town from Ballarat of a night time and he times his run on one particular light between Ballarat and here. Interesting thought. One particular light. And that light is about 18 kilometres west of Skipton and about 11 kilometres east of Streatham. On the highway, it's total blackness. You have to approach this on the Glenelg Highway, up this long straight for about 6 kilometres, and there on top of the hill is a light. One light. Nothing else from this side, nothing else that side is lit up, just this one light on the street. The place is called Caranballach, if you want to know. And it's there. One light. And I know this particular man, he looks up at the clock, or looks at his clock, yeah, I'm right. He's on time. He's timed his run from there to this clock. And he knows where he is. And he can arrive in Hamilton on time. I today want to time my walk with Jesus the same way. I want to be able to be in tune with Jesus and know exactly where I am, no matter whether it's day or night or anything, because I want to be there when the time comes. I don't want to miss out. I want to be there. Stand at the crossroads and look, yes. Understand the ancient paths. To me, that means this. I understand what the Bible is talking about. I have to understand what it's meaning to me. The Bible is talking to me through the Holy Spirit. It's not keeping quiet. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good Bible down. It's still the best-selling book in the world. Yeah, it can even beat all this J.K. Rowling, you know, books, and she's written about all those, you know, with English things and all that sort of thing. Can beat it, hands down. Miles above publication, the Bible. One's only got to go into Dimmicks or a place like that and see whole sections of the ranks devoted to Bibles. Yes, if I want to pick up the Quran or this or that or anything else, it's all there. All there. Even these. But it's there. It's there. I want to walk with Jesus. Do you? In Exodus 33:14 it says, "The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Alright, that one begs then the question. Where am I leading back to? There's only one particular answer here. There's actually two. Psalm 23. Yes, this was all leading back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I then have a second psalm after this one. But you know what I'm going to say. Psalm 23. And for the sake of this presentation this morning, I'm going to read it because it has meaning to me now. And I want to dedicate this to the Mokalek family this particular week. Because the Mokalek family is going through something now. And so I dedicate this to Tony and his wife and the family this afternoon, for today onwards. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come back about ten chapters in Psalms, and I want to read Psalm 13. Psalm 13 is a small verse, small chapter, and it ends up with where I want to be this morning. How long, Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? Question mark. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and all my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Has the Lord in your life been good to you? He certainly has in my life. Although sometimes in my life I might have said to myself, oh yes, why me? Stand back and don't worry about it. But the Lord, when I think about and analyse it, the Lord has been good to me. He has been good to me in many ways. Just as I have had earthly parents, an earthly father, I have had a heavenly father that's looked after me just as well. My closing remark this morning is going to be, those who stand with Jesus never stand alone. What's your choice today? Stand with Jesus or stand with the other man? I would like to close with this thought. 10 little things. God won't ask you what kind of car you drove. He'll ask you how many people you drove to church who didn't have transportation. God won't ask the square footage of your house. He'll ask how many people you welcomed into your home. God won't ask about the clothes you had in your closet. He'll ask how many you helped to clothe. God won't ask what your highest salary was. He'll ask if you compromised your character to obtain it. God won't ask what your job title was. He'll ask if you performed your job to the best of your ability. 6. God won't ask how many friends you had. He'll ask how many people to whom you were a friend. God won't ask in what neighbourhood you lived. He'll ask how you treated your neighbours. 8. God won't ask about the colour of your skin. He'll ask about the content of your character. God won't ask why it took you so long to seek salvation. He'll lovingly take you into your mansion in heaven, and not the gates of hell. God won't have to ask how many people you forwarded this to. He already knows whether or not you are ashamed to share this information with your friends. I close with this thought. Are you ashamed to share God's knowledge and God's scripture with your friends? Because if you are, we have a problem. We are all God's disciples, Jesus' disciples on this earth. We all have to do our little bit, one way or another. Every little bit counts. It's like the engine room of a ship with four engines. All the engines have to be in unison, otherwise it won't work. We as a church have to go forward in unison to ensure that God's word is spread throughout this message, throughout the world, throughout our area here. To be able to do that, Jesus needs you. Jesus needs you as much as I need him. Because he's given us a challenge today. And the challenge is this. Come unto me, all you who are labour and are heavy laden and burden, and I will give you rest. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day and for the chance to open thy word and study it through Matthew, Lord. Come unto me. Heavenly Father, we pray a special blessing today on the Mokalek family in their hour of need, in our hour of need also, Lord, because we all hurt over this. We pray a special blessing for them today, that Olivia will be able to regain her normal health, through the doctors, that they will be able to find what the problem is and fix her up, Lord, so that she will one day be back here with us. We pray a special blessing for the Mokalek family for this week, and no matter what comes, Lord, Tony knows he can come to you and seek you in prayer and help. Heavenly Father, take us now through the remainder of this Sabbath day and bless the regional meeting in Warrnambool today. I ask these things in my special name. Amen.